It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. We want to welcome everybody to the show. We got a pretty darn good 2 days of broadcasting coming up for you today. Today on the show, our guest is going to be Tim McCready, and we're going to talk about his chances of trying to win that $1 million down there this year at Eldora. We'll talk a little bit about that and some of his success that he's had this year. Maybe we'll step back in time a little bit and talk about the time that he flipped it out of the ballpark down at the Chili Bowl as well. Austin O'Neill joins us here on the show. We got a lot of stories to talk about. Brent Marks picks up the win last night at Port Royal. The summer nationals at Benton Speedway was canceled last night. And maybe the biggest news, there's two big stories today, I would think, Austin. And I think the biggest one of the bunch is how MAV TV is now going to be on Flow Racing. And we want everybody to give us their thoughts about that. And maybe the second biggest story is Corey Eliason has been relieved of his driving duties with the 26 car. Were you surprised by that one there, Austin?
I was very surprised that Eliason's out of the Rudine 26. Now, I didn't see that coming. You kind of speculate when, you know, he kind of had a rough start at East Bay this year and a couple off races, you know, kind of
right
through the non-point stuff with the All-Stars, and you kind of speculate that at some point, you know, Kevin's going to make a decision and or Corey's going to, you know, get that bad luck behind him and pick up some wins. And he had some good runs here recently,
right?
So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if anything, you know, behind the scenes went down, but it's, you know, kind of odd that you see his fellow competitors, Zeb Wise, and his backup car, Skagit, last week for Dirt Cup. So,
and there's rumors going around that he might be the replacement.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's odd to see him in his backup car, then, you know, days later you see Corey out of the seat. So, you know, it's going to develop more as we go on, you know, throughout the weeks and whatnot.
Yeah.
But odd situation with Corey.
You think it's a little premature to pull him out of the seat this early in the season? Your thoughts on that? Me personally, I think you need to give him a little bit more time.
He's had 3.5 years in that car too.
Well, that's true.
He's had 3.5 years and
that's
only
true.
A handful
Very
of
true.
Wins, and you know, maybe that. I noticed something. Maybe it's not going to, you know, affect, you know, the 26 car or the 410, but they made that announcement with Corey leaving, and you go to Rudine's Facebook page or the mm-hmm. racing page on Facebook, and normally, like, the cover picture is a picture of Corey's 410, and then the profile picture is a picture of Chance Crum's 26 midget. So
right.
Now, after they made that announcement, the cover picture has went from Corey's car to the midget again. So maybe they've seen the success and or the lack of success with Corey and
right.
and with him now owning Skagit and the midget. It's just a lot of money being pulled from Kevin, and maybe it's just, you know, he didn't have the success, and maybe he's wanting to kind of take a step back with his wing program, maybe make it a weekly car out there on the west coast of Skagit.
Well, that's a possibility.
And
right?
just go focus on Chance Crum's midget.
Right. Well, I, you know, to me, here's my opinion on these kind of things, that when something happens like this, you know, I'm always in favor when you make a commitment to somebody at the start of the year that you need to make it through the year with them, right? Now, I get it that if the performance isn't there, what did he run, like 19th up there at Skagit? I think it was like 19th, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't a very,
it wasn't
good, showing.
Very good showing for him up there. So maybe that was the icing on the cake, that he just didn't show up there at Skagit. And, you know, this is Kevin's big race, right? He's taken over Skagit Speedway. He's done all these capital improvements on the facility. He's done everything that he could to make this race one of the biggest races in the country. and then his driver doesn't really show up and runs 19th.
And his backup, the backup car with Zeb, who isn't his driver, but besides that 3-day show at Skagit.
I think he only finished a couple spots in front of him, though, didn't he?
Had a somewhat better of a weekend. He got caught up in a wreck on Saturday, I believe, but he had a pretty decent weekend, it looked like.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's to me, you know, I'm one of those people that I stay with my commitment throughout the year. It's kind of like when somebody starts a new racing series at a racetrack. You know, a lot of promoters, what they end up doing is they end up giving up on that class before they give it enough time to grow. I mean, if you're going to commit to a class at a racetrack, and I'm just using this as kind of an example, if you're going to commit to a class at a racetrack, you need to give it a minimum of 2 or 3 years to let it grow, let it expand. And I think, you know, 3.5 years with Corey Eliason, I think that's probably enough, though. But I'm just not in favor of cutting drivers loose in the middle of the season. That's my thing. That would be a rough one, wouldn't it? If you were Corey Eliason and you got fired right now and you're out of a ride, it isn't it more difficult to find a ride during the middle of the season than it is at any time? Wouldn't it be rougher for Corey Eliason to find him a decent ride at this point? Wouldn't you think, Austin? I mean, how many decent rides are out there available right now?
Not a lot. You know, it's going to be tough, you know, while everybody's, you know, in contracts for a whole season to find an open seat. But, you know, you maybe, you know, you catch a car out there, you know, it's kind of a hit and miss car. It always is kind of shuffling drivers in and out. And, you know, maybe he can go up there. It's, I always think of a team that always is looking for a drivers that the 49 car Tim Schaefer used to drive for in Pennsylvania. Right. They had Schaefer was in it for a while. Eaton Mattson was in it for a while. And then that, I think they've shuffled a couple drivers in and out of it here in the last year or two. So, you know, it's tough to find one, I think, you know, during the middle of the season. But, you know, maybe you find a deal like that where you can just get in for a couple races and make a little money, then maybe create some relationships, you know, throughout the summer and into the fall, and, right, and maybe try and find a seat full-time in the winter.
Yeah. Tough deal for Corey Eliason right now. That's all I can say. All right, let's get into something that I know a thing or two about. MAV TV is now going to be taken over by Flow Racing. What do you think about that, Austin? Me personally, Flow is the 800-pound gorilla in the room right now, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, they're on top of the world right now in streaming.
Yeah. Are you a little surprised that MAV TV would give up the rights to Flow? Let me just say this. Tomorrow, we're going to have Michael Rigsby on the show tomorrow from Flow. You know Michael Rigsby from his Dirt on Dirt days. He's kind of the leader of all the motorsports stuff that goes on over at Flow Racing. He's going to be on with us tomorrow. We'll talk in great detail with him about how all this transpired. So Michael Rigsby tomorrow on the show with us. I know it's normally Phone Friday, but we figured if we could get Michael on, we're going to get him on. So we'll have him on tomorrow, and we'll get full disclosure about how all this went down with Flow and MAV TV. It's very exciting times, I'm sure, for the people over at Flow. You know what they really wanted, don't you? They really wanted the Lucas Oil Late Model Series. That's what they really wanted, right?
Well, they want that, and then they want the A main to the Chili Bowl, too.
Right.
Or the C, B, and the A at the Chili Bowl. So now we don't have to worry about flipping back and forth from Flow Racing to MAV for the Chili Bowl. And, yeah, you can watch. I think you can have pretty much all of the late model series in the nation, or a majority of them, on Flow Racing. Your exception of XR, the Outlaws,
Dirt,
and the Dirt Car Series.
Yeah.
Everything else is on Flow Racing. So, you know, I can see them, you know, that was being their priority of wanting to acquire MAV TV.
Hey, Marie, it's good to see you hanging out with us here today. Good to see you right here on the show. We haven't seen you in a while. So do you think that Flo in the end, and this is a question I'll ask Michael Rigsby tomorrow, do you think in the end Flo wants to eliminate all smaller pay-per-view businesses like people like Race Boys? Listen, there's no secret. Kirk and I sold the rights to the Chili Bowl to Flo, and we were compensated well for it, and it's great. You know, we're happy with what we did. I can tell you this. I think I can speak for Kirk and I both, that we are very glad that we're not in the streaming business anymore, just so you know. You know, after doing that for 13 years, traveling up and down the road, worrying about, you know, cables, wireless units, microphones, wireless cameras, trailers, T-shirts, all that kind of stuff that we did up and going up and down the road. I don't miss that at all. I don't miss doing all that work, to be honest with you. And, it, you know, we did our broadcast kind of with a skeleton crew. There was only two or three of us putting the thing together, right? We weren't like MAV TV. We weren't like Flo, where we had a group of people come in, help us set up, get everything done, and do the broadcast. So we were kind of on a skeleton crew back in the day. But let me tell you one thing for sure. Lucas Oil Products, MAV TV Plus, have been great partners of the Racing Boys for the last 12 years, probably 12 years. And we could listen, if MAV TV is happy about their relationship with Flo, then I'm happy for them. You know, Brandon Bernstein is over there. He's kind of running the ship now. You know, Bob Pattison was the guy over there for all the years and when we were over there in the early years with them, and he always did a great job as well. But now Brandon Bernstein, the son of Kenny Bernstein, is running pretty much all the pay-per-view business for MAV TV, and I'm sure that he had a lot of say in what was going on with the transition between going to Flo. Now, here's the thing. Flo has 1,800 races right now. Did you know that, Austin?
That's well over 2,000 now since the addition of MAV.
I would think so. And when does this start to take place? Does it start to take place this year? Or do they wait and work their way through this year and start at the first of next year?
No, in the press release that I read on MAV TV's site, or I can't think it was MAV TV's site, that you have now, and I think maybe until the end of the month of July, you can watch all the races scheduled on MAV TV's website, or yep, MAV TV or Plus's website, free. But at the end of the month, you have to buy a Flo subscription and become a Flo member to watch.
Really?
Yeah, I'll try and find the article real quick.
All right. Well, that's interesting. So they're going to make this transition during the racing season this year.
Yeah, so the first broadcast is tonight.
Oh. What is it?
So here it is. So Flo Racing and MAV TV Plus will both stream new MAV TV Plus live programming to their subscribers starting today, June 30th, through midnight on Tuesday, July 26th. Until then, after that, fans will need to subscribe to Flo Racing to watch MAV TV Plus programming.
I don't know. Doesn't it seem kind of odd that they would make this transition during the racing season? Does that not seem a little odd to you, Austin? Or maybe MAV TV's just got tired of doing it, dealing with it. Or better yet, maybe Flo just offered them a ton of money. You know, a lot of money was changed hands on this deal.
Oh, it had to. I mean, this isn't a cheap business.
Millions and millions and millions and millions.
But I knew something would change when it was it Memorial Day weekend this year, when they had the Show Me down at Lucas Oil, and all the MAV TV website went down, and all of the broadcasts were inaccessible on the website. And they pushed all their streams to Facebook. And then ever since that day, the website has been messed up. It wouldn't work. You couldn't access.
They've had some issues.
Previous shows or streams, and even the live ones and upcoming ones were hard to get a hold of. And ever since that day, I knew at some point, you know, that transition to Flow Racing or different or selling out, whatever it would have been, would be near. And well, today we know nowhere mm-hmm. landed.
Right. Frog says, that's exactly what Flow's doing. They're in it to win it. That's what Frog says. Ethan says, Mav has been having issues in general. I know the motocross broadcasts were a mess most of the time. And Frog goes, there you go, dollars. That's what it boils down to, isn't it, Frog? It's all about the money, honey. That's what it's about, right? I mean, you hear rumors. And you hear rumors anywhere between $25, $30 million. What about all the employees that work over there at MAV TV Plus? That's what I wonder. Are they going to start sharing those employees with Flo?
They have to.
They
I mean, if you're going to bring all the broadcasts to Flo Racing, you need the manpower to produce it. And we saw the same thing happen with Dirt on Dirt. When Dirt on Dirt was absorbed by Flo Racing, where'd Rigsby and D-Swolf and all those guys go? And they went all to Flo Racing. So I bet you all the people that work at Flo Race at MAV TV Plus have most likely transitioned to Flo Racing.
Mm-hmm. So Rodney, gosh, I feel sorry for Rodney right here. He said, so I just paid my yearly subscription to MAV TV Plus last month.
You're not the only one.
Well, are they going to get reimbursement? Does it say anything in there in that press release about getting reimbursed for the money that people have already spent? Does it say anything in there like that, Austin?
Yes. MAV TV will be contacting MAV TV Plus subscribers with information about their accounts and instructions on how to subscribe to Flow Racing to watch new live MAV TV programming moving forward. So, yeah, I bet you they might roll you over into a Flow subscription.
Here's the question. Do you think at some point that Flow is going to buy Dirt Vision? That way they're the granddaddy of them all at that point, right?
I mean, you're going to force everybody to – I mean, that's – in my mind, you're going to – you're just going to set yourself up to make more money and have more subscribers to your program. And, you know, I don't think it'll happen here soon, but I bet you in 5 or so years, maybe, you could probably see Dirt Vision absorbed by Flow Racing or whenever the contract is. What could happen is either they just be acquired by them like MAV TV, or when the contract that Dirt Vision and the World Racing Group's up,
right,
You see Flow Racing try and get in there and bid out Dirt Vision.
I'm going to say that it doesn't happen. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that there's no chance that happens. I think Dirt Vision can stand on their own 2 feet pretty strong, and I think their product is excellent. And I would be shocked if Dirt Vision would ever sell out their rights, because they got a good thing going over there at Dirt Vision.
No,
right
they
now.
Do, and I mean, it's just it's all speculation. I mean, I hope they don't sell out. I like their vision, Dirt Vision more than I ever have.
Right.
But you never know what the path Flow Racing's on right now. It's tough to say what they're going to do and what they're not going to do.
Yeah. Britt Marks last night picks up the win at Port Royal. What did you think of that race last night?
You know, it wasn't. It was a pretty good race.
Yeah,
you know, it's good Port Royal where you got at least two lanes of racing, and I was, you know, Larson finally showed he had some speed, and I think he might have had a shot at Brent if maybe he could have had a yellow kind of fall his way and that tire not fall apart on him. I think that's you know, after that restart, his car didn't fire off well, and then, you know, we see a couple laps later the right rear tire blow. But no, I mean, that was a pretty good race. I was kind of surprised to see you know, Macri have an engine failure. I mean, you don't, I wonder what went wrong with him or what the cause was, because you don't see, and he's on riders. Riders are pretty good. They're almost bulletproof sometimes, and I wonder what went sour on him, or if he was just either a parts failure, or if he was just close to his rebuild number, and it was just, you know, finally time for it to let go. But right. No, I mean, it was a pretty good race. Brent's pretty dominant right now.
It blew out the bottom too.
Yeah, it went in a big way.
Yeah, you know, I was pretty impressed with Logan Wagner last night. He was running the middle. Did you notice that? How he was running the middle down in one and two, and he'd kind of ripped the top. And he worked the middle for a little bit, and then he finally just moved up to the top.
Yeah, Port Royal is, you know, it's the best place to see, you know, all types of different lanes of racing. And, you know, with him, Anthony, and Lance, I mean, those three cars pretty much race there weekly. Maybe not as much as Macri. I think he's probably hits or miss, you know, a couple of races. But,
right.
You know, I consider those three cars Port Royal cars. And, yeah, I mean, it's just Logan has a ton of laps around that place. And he knows a thing or two about there. So, he had a good run. And I think he might have had a shot. If you notice on one of the shots with a couple laps to go is – It knocked the wicker bill off the nose wing. So
right.
You saw that in the heat race with Anthony Macri too. So I'm not sure what was causing that to happen last night, and that might have hindered his performance a little bit. But yeah, not a bad run by Logan Wagner.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, our first guest of the day, maybe our only guest of the day, we're going to have Tim McCready. Let's talk about how close he was to winning that $1 million at Eldora. That's all next right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding mucus fuel treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Mucus fuel treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now on the show is a guy that just picked up the Firecracker 100 at Lernerville Speedway. Tim McCready joins us now on the show. Tim, how you doing?
Oh, not bad, man. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man, I appreciate you taking the time to be on the show. Some pretty big breaking news today. I kind of want to get your feel on it because, you know, the world of late model racing, I don't know if it's been any better than it is right now. A lot of high dollar paying races and a lot of different series that are paying a lot of money. But I don't know if you heard it today, but MAV TV is now going to be on Flow Racing. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think I just found out maybe 15 minutes ago. Just got back from lunch and just kind of basically saw what a lot of people were seeing. As far as on my end of it, it's good. It's all good. Anytime we can try to broaden the product for whoever wants to see it, whether you're a you can be any type of fan, whether you're just watching local drag racing or Formula One fan or a USAC fan or obviously a dirt late model fan, and just broaden our reach a little bit. Usually transfers and or translates into a little bit more, hopefully, purse money and everything else that goes with it. Right now, You're right about the late model division. I don't know if there could be a better time to have to be a driver in this type of situation where we're having races that are paying upwards of $25,000, $50,000, $5,000 for 10th, and $3,500 to start, things like that throughout the country. It's an amazing time to be a driver.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I've got to step back in time just a couple weeks ago and talk about your chances of winning that million. I know a lot of people have wanted to talk to you about that, but man, what are your nerves like when you know you're contending for $1 million and you're challenging for the lead? What's going through your mind during the time when you're out there on the racetrack? Are you just focused on racing, or does any of that other stuff seep into your mind while you're out there?
Well, I mean, I think the way the purse is actually set up, that it's such a big drop off to second that you can pretend all day long that it's the same deal as it is when you're there for the Dream or whatever, the World 100. At the end of the day, I mean, it's a big drop off. So I think for me personally, we'd run so many green flag laps before the first yellow had come out that I wasn't really focused on the purse or what the $1 million end game. So I was focused on trying to run down the guy in front of you, then the next guy in front of you, then the next. And obviously when we got the JD, he was the last one. And then the yellow comes out like 15 to go or more. And then you realize, hey, what's going on here? And it was a unique battle. It was a lot of fun. I'm a lot happier and more relaxed today than I was probably when we had the flat, I mean, and it was a sad thing because it was just like a chunk out of the right rear tire that must have got cut down by something. So, yeah. At the end of the day, we tried our best, and you try to move on. Unfortunately, one guy was happy when they left. The rest of us are
not so happy.
We were there.
Yeah, not so happy, right? The tire issue. How big a deal is that to you? Obviously, you probably felt like the tire gave up on you. We're in a weird kind of place right now with these Hoosier tires and what's going on with the tire game right now because they don't cure quick enough. You know, they can't get the petroleum in there to make the tires. Where do you think we're at in the tire game right now?
Well, I mean, from our perspective on our side of it in our division, it hasn't been a huge problem for us travelers as far as at least my race team. I mean, acquiring right. tires and stuff like that, we've been on top of it fairly good. Lucas has done a very good job of trying to make sure that working with Hoosier that we can get what we need to keep traveling. I can't really say what happens when you start going down the ladder to the local guys or to what's happening throughout the country. And some of it is the cars. Like, I think our race cars must be in the track good enough that we haven't had huge issues with tires delaminating or anything like that, like some of the non-wings or sprint car teams have had happening. I really don't know why those tires are doing it. We can talk about all day long about, well, this sure. doesn't cure enough, it doesn't do this enough, it doesn't do that enough. At the end of the day, it's out of our control. So
right.
Hoosier and whoever else makes tires has to step up and rectify the problem. And then that's what I'm always told by a tech guy and by a track promoter or by whoever else when I'm not winning the way I want to win is like, hey man, you know, fix your program. So unfortunately they got to fix their program and I'm sure they know they got a problem. It's just, they got to just go in the right direction to try to make it right for the sprint car teams and some of the other issues they're having. We're not really having, I haven't seen that many on the late model side of it. So,
right.
It just must be the construction of our tire and the compounds we've chosen to run that are allowing us to not have as many issues. I guess at that end, but I want it to be right for everybody. So whatever right. it takes, Hoosier's going to have to do it. And American Racer and all these other teams are just going to have to get together and figure it out.
Yeah. Man, you've been on a heck of a run here as of late. You've been really cranking out a lot of the top tens. I know there was a couple rain delays in there, but I'm sitting here looking back at Lucas Oil Speedway, you know, a third, a ninth, and then West Virginia Motor Speedway, and another ninth, and then just nothing but consistent top 10 finishes. Do you feel like your team is hitting its stride right now?
I feel like we've gotten a lot better. I think last year at this time we weren't getting the top 10s. They were all top fives. So.
Right.
If you look back at years past, usually our race team gets going right about the time spring starts to end and the summer months come. I don't know if it's preparation, my driving ability, or a combination right. of everything under the sun, but we seem to smooth it out and start locking in on what we think we need for a setup. And this year's been a little tougher for us just because the rules changes and a lot of the race teams have lost downforce, not so much overall downforce, but downforce on the back end of the race car. And anytime you do that, it makes it tougher to drive harder, to make moves and to get this thing stuck on the right rear enough to be comfortable driving above the cushion or whatever it takes. So for us, it's taking a little longer to get going, but we're happy where we're at. Obviously, it's easy to be happy when you win a big
right.
race. So
yeah, no doubt.
Hopefully that'll translate into the ninths can start being wins. In top fives is what we're always shooting for. We want to unload and try to win everywhere we go.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've had so much success over there with the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series. Brandon Shepherd comes over there this year, and he's going to be running with you guys. He's current point leader right now. You're second in points. What did you think when you heard that Brandon Shepherd was going to come over there and run with the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series?
Well, I mean, it's just like anything. There's no secret to what they've done over on the World of Outlaw Tour. I mean, the last bunch of years, whether Josh Richards drove the car and then Brandon come along and took over, the team and the drivers they've had are as good as it gets. So I can't say that I was happiest guy in the world when they decided
right.
to do it because on our side, I was like, well, you know, John, I know Jonathan Davenport's decided not to run the tour. How many races did he win last year? 11, 10, 15. Yeah. Okay, there's 15 wins out there for another team. How many races did Jimmy Owens win? Because he's decided not to do it. And I'm thinking, this Lucas Tour is finally going to maybe lighten up a little bit, spread some more money around to maybe myself or some other race teams, and you don't have the same heavy hitters we've had the last 5 years. And then lo and behold, here comes the Rocket House car with Brandon Shepherd driving it, and put you a step back to where you were before. The beauty of it is, for me, on my end of it, is I've raced, like I said, when you race with Jimmy Owens and JD and some of the young guys on our tour, Herb and all of them, I mean, we've been in such a battle the last 5 years with all these guys that what's one more spring, hell, another one to the party. We'll sit and see how it shakes out, but he's one of the toughest in the country, that's for sure.
Yeah. I want to step back in time a little bit. I don't know if you remember, but Racing Boys, the company that we own here, we did the Chili Bowl broadcast for 16 years, and a little memory comes back of you flipping out of the park at the Chili Bowl. Take us back in that time. That was a pretty devastating injury for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was. I was driving for Greg Wilkie, and we actually the crazy. It's so funny about that whole deal. Is that's the year that I believe, if I remember right, I think Sammy Swindell never got beat in anything he did all weekend. Mm. And when I broke, we were leading the A main scramble with maybe one or two laps or so, not so many laps to go, by well over a straightaway and a half. With Sammy in the field, so we were maybe going to be the only guy to beat this guy all weekend, and the axle broke, and it just turned me over. I thought at first the throttle, I thought the rear end broke, but I didn't know what was going on, so I thought I need to move out of the way, and then it just kind of caught itself, and ended up with a burst fracture, which is a lot different from a compression fracture or anything like that, and it was my T3, which is way up towards your neck, so I was pretty fortunate, because a lot of times an injury like that is usually like falling off a ladder or construction guys or something like that happens. You're usually in some sort of paralysis after it. So they said that that I was lucky. He said basically had to sit around in a full brace for, I think it was 7 months. I wasn't allowed to even lift more than 5 or 6 pounds for 7 months plus, and basically just sat around trying not to get depressed about where you're at in life. And lo and behold, I come back and I feel like today, I probably feel every bit as strong as I was before that happened. I might not be as aggressive in a midget car as I used to be, but at the end of the day, I've had a pretty good career, so you can't really dwell on a bad moment like that.
Yeah. Did you feel when you were flipping out of the park there that you might get down there? Because, you know, that was kind of in a restricted area to where some people stand around down there. Were you a little concerned when you flipped over there?
I'll be honest with you, I was actually got knocked out, so I didn't really remember any of it. I remember the beginning and then basically waking up in the car, and obviously, you know, everybody's got a video of it, so it's it's not that you can't see it, but I didn't really remember. I think that's partly why I got hurt, is because when that happened, obviously the body must not be tightened up as much as it normally is. And believe it or not, I have a lot of friends that sit in the end booth on the end, which is, I believe, the Gateway booth now, but at the time it was Don Martin and Todd Robbins were all partnered up in this booth, and one of my good friends from my hometown that had gone with me was there, and he actually was the first guy to the car. He jumped over the fence and got down there, so and woke me up, kind of. When I woke up, he was the first guy I was talking to, so it's one of them things, man. Life's crazy, and sometimes you go through some hardship, and hopefully you come out the other side a little wiser and a little stronger for it.
Yeah. Before we let you go, I got to ask you, how tough is it to, you know, we got out of the broadcasting business. We did the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour races for the last 13 years, and we decided to get out because of all these heavy players that are getting into the streaming business right now. What do you think is the future of late model racing, and where is it going to go? Do you think it's going to get bigger than it is now, or do you think we've kind of plateaued right now?
I mean, I hope it keeps getting bigger, because obviously I'm at the tail end of my career, where it would be awesome to see the purses continue to climb. I think the next step in our division is to understand that when you start have dwindling car counts, which everybody is, and
right.
it's just a simple fact, is it's expensive to race no matter which division you decide to do. I mean, whether you decide to race an entry-level division, and now how do you get people to be able to keep doing it? And I don't believe the answer is always $100,000 to win, $20,000 for second, $2,000 for tenth, and just set of steak knives to show up. You know, so it's like you got to start looking and saying, okay, I understand that in every newspaper in 1995, it looked really cool that there was a $100,000 tag on the top of it.
Yeah.
But what's going to keep guys coming and things like that nature is if, instead of paying $1 million to win, you pay $300,000 to win and pay $25,000 to start. Now you're looking at, hey, wait a minute, you know, there's a guy that maybe would have probably came to Eldora. I bet you they would add another 50 to 100 cars, because a lot of guys believe they can make the show, but the way things are nowadays, it's tough. There's teams that have access to technology like my own and everything else, and the winners usually don't change a lot in our division, based off of partly because it's a very hard division. So we need to figure out how to open the rules up a little bit so you and I can sit in our garage and maybe come up with something that's a little unique that actually has some speed that maybe is not
right.
done in a wind tunnel or done with data acquisition. And that would be the next step. I don't know if the purses can continue to climb, but from what I understand about streaming, if the subscribers are there and the sponsorship comes and whoever owns the service decides to put it into the purses, hopefully it rolls down to me. If not, I got to figure how to get main, you know, all kinds of sponsors, whether it be on a smaller scale, you know, mainstream sponsors, Pepsi, Budweiser, whatever it could be. And that'd be my job to try to pull them in and show them the numbers. And hopefully it's in their plan to give us some money. So it's got some time to be alive. I'm not going to lie. Like, I've been doing this stuff for a long time, and who would ever thought you could do what you guys started doing and some of these other companies are continuing to do, man. So it's pretty wild.
You know, the purses better go up, because the price of fuel and motel rooms and everything that goes with traveling up and down the road is getting so expensive right now. It's just unbelievable what people are having to pay to travel up and down the road right now.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, some of that stuff's obviously beyond all of our control. We can only control how we race and basically live in the United States. And then there's a lot of things that we have zero control over that are going a little wild right now. So it's like, as long as you got to try to keep the owners happy. And cause unfortunately, like, I couldn't do this without an owner, with Donald and Gina, my two owners. There's no way. I mean, go up and down the road and have two or three guys on payroll and to roll around right now is definitely, I would be willing to bet, we probably have to bring in to get to the same numbers we did last year, another 20% more than what we did the year before. And that's not always easy to obtain, you know? So it's like, what you got to do is hopefully balance it out and keep the owners happy. And hopefully we can continue to grow this sport. We've grown it very well. I mean, everybody, I mean, it's amazing. Like I said, I can turn on a streaming service and watch things that I can only dream of watching when I would open up the Ariato newspaper up in New York every week or the Gator. And, it's like I said, what a time to be alive, to be able to pick up any type of racing you want to see. And now we just got to figure out how to grow it and then keep us all financially compensated for it, so we can keep doing it.
Tim, thanks so much for taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports, man. We'll be rooting for you down the road. We hope that you, end up winning the championship again with the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series. Good luck to you the rest of the way this year.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Anytime.
All right, buddy. There you have it. Tim McCready joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor. We want to remind everybody about the track tribute that's going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum right now. It's Ascot Park tribute. They've got a bunch of cars up there. They've got driver uniforms, videos, a lot of information, memorabilia, helmets. A lot of cool things that came from Ascot Park in Gardena, California. Again, one of the great racetracks of all time in this country. It's a great tribute. You need to go up there and see it. It's only going to be going on through October 1st. And we also want to remind everybody that they still have the 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette. The drawing will take place Saturday, August 13th. During the Knoxville Nationals, if you can't get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and register in person, you can always do it online at Corvette, the letter C, the number 8, the letter R, contest.com. That's Corvette, C8R, contest.com. If you'd like to enter, this car is worth a ton of money, folks. Between $150,000 and $300,000 is what we've seen these cars go for. And it's only going on right now up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Get up there. If you're going to go to Knoxville and watch the races, take some time. Go over to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Sign up for the Corvette. Or better yet, you could sign up for the Sprint Car Raffle as well. They've got a 2022 Triple X chassis with the 410 motor in it. And they will be giving that away on Friday, December 16th. And if you can't make it up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always do it online for the Sprint Car as well. You can go to SprintCarRaffle.com. Again, that's SprintCarRaffle.com. This is a 2022 410 wing sprint car, a race-ready wing sprint car, folks. You can still register at SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com. They'll be giving that away on Friday, December 16th. And make sure if you go up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you tell Bob Baker that the Racing Boys, you heard about the Sprint Car, the Corvette, and the track tribute to Ascot Park right here on Mostly Motorsports. All right, we're going to bring somebody in on the show right now. You know, we don't talk a lot about local racing around here, but this is a special tribute this weekend to who was my original partner before Kirk Elliott. Now, a lot of people don't remember this, but Kirk Elliott was my partner. He started in 2000 with me. But before that, I worked a couple years with a man by the name of Tom Wilson, and they're going to have a Tom Wilson Memorial Race down at Central Missouri Speedway this weekend. And we thought we'd bring in Alan Miller to talk about this weekend's action down at CMS. Alan, how you doing?
Okay, Scott, how are you?
I'm doing all right. This is a big weekend. I know this is, in Earl's eyes, this might be the biggest race of the year for them, right?
It is. Yeah, it's, and I'm going to blow your mind here. This is the 22nd annual Tom Wilson Memorial.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, you know, Kirk's been with me for 22 years, so that makes a lot of sense because I asked Kirk to come on board with me right after Tom and I'd split up. And what's funny is Tom called me the night that he passed and left a message on my voicemail. It was about 45 minutes before he passed, saying,
"Oh my!"
He said, "Sonny, give me a call. I want to talk to you about something." And he always called me Sonny for some reason. Unfortunately, I didn't get to speak with him before his passing, and he was a great asset to local racing, one of the best voices in all of motorsports.
Oh, he was. I was a racing fan. I was a fan in the stands, and I can vividly remember him calling the races at Central Missouri Speedway. He'd always come up with the
cliches,
the nicknames, like Moving Dave Meyer,
right?
The Rooster Tom Charles, and
the Rocket Jesse Hockett.
All those nicknames,
yeah.
And it was, and it's kind of interesting now. In fact, speaking of Dave Meyer, his son Brian Meyer is now racing at the track in a in an E-Mod.
Oh, really?
So it's So it's really interesting to see. We're starting to see that. Some of the next generation of these guys that raced when I first went to the track there at Central Missouri Speedway. So, yeah, I can vividly remember some of those nicknames that he would set out there for the different drivers. So,
he was
always a big weekend for us. I know that we always like to remember Tom. He was the man with Earl that came up with the Mighty Modified moniker that we've used there for many years at Central Missouri Speedway. So it is a big weekend just to go through some of the events. Right now we have planned on Saturday. We'll see. We're kind of crossing our fingers on Saturday, but right now we have a a 1,000 to win B-Mod show along with an 800 to win Pure Stocks, and then we'll also have the Power Eye Super Stocks and Midwest Mods. That is the plan for Saturday night. And then on Sunday night, it'll be 3,000 to win for the B-Mods. By the way, those are separate shows, completely different shows, so they can come in on both nights or one night. And then on night number two, we also have a 500 to win Midwest E-Mod show, and then we'll have the Power Eye Super Stocks and the Pure Stocks there as well. So it is a big, big weekend at Central Missouri Speedway. And it's always fun to see who the travelers might be, who's right. going to come in to try to win the big money. And that's been kind of the tradition, I think, of that 4th of July race. You just never know who's going to show up for a special, you know, especially for the big money like that.
Yeah, no doubt. So they decided not to run A-Mods for this race this year, right? They just decided to put all the money towards the B-Mods this year.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, they basically, Earl and Susan, we had talked to the Modifieds for several years, but, you know, trying to get the money or trying to get the numbers back up. And you and I have talked about this before. Yeah. I mean, the technology has gone from what I would call, you know, you were talking to Tim McCready earlier, it's gone from the late models really into that modified class when you talk about the shock packages that they have now. And it's been tough for the local racer. Yeah, you have the touring series guys, the USMTS, those kind of guys, but you know, the local weekly racer to keep up with that technology had been very difficult. And it's not just CMS. I mean, I used to look around all through the Midwest at modified car counts, and we were actually carrying pretty good modified car counts for the local, you know, for just a weekly local track. And I'd look all the way up into Minnesota and Wisconsin, all the way down into Oklahoma and various tracks. And you could see it all over the Midwest. So,
yeah, no doubt.
I don't know. But they made that decision, and it was purely a business decision on behalf of Earl and Susan. And I know they were reluctant to do it, but I think the realities were overtaking, and they really took, if you look at our weekly payout for the B-Mods now, it's a 600 to win weekly.
Oh, that's good.
And they spread that money all the way down through the, you know, down through all the way down to, you know, even the 20th spot starting and throughout some of the other classes too. So that's how they decided to go. And again, just a purely business decision. We always loved having the modifieds there, but it just came down to more of a numbers crunching kind of decision.
Yeah, it's got to make sense. And I know that Earl threw a lot of money at the modifieds for many years, and he was very mm-hmm. passionate about those modifieds. And it had to be very painful for him to drop the A-Mods. But just the fact is they're getting too expensive. It's just the bottom line. They're too expensive to run right now. And, you know, the B-Mods are the future of modified racing in my world. That's what I think.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I mean, if you look at the prices of the B-Mods now, too, it's just they're starting to get out of control as well.
Well, then there's that, right? And the B-Mods, now people are starting to get the high-dollar B-Mods out there. You know, what a lot of people are doing is they're taking their A-Mods and they're moving them down to a B-Mod. And now that's just driving the cost of the B-Mod up.
Yes. Well, and you see a guy like, and here's a great example, Terry Schultz, for many years, you know, I started watching him when he was driving street stocks, and he was a street stock track champion, A-Mod champion, and all of a sudden now last year he drops to the B-Mod. Now he's driving a car for Bobby Russell, but, I mean, he ended up as the NASCAR Midwest champion in the B-Mod.
Right.
And that was, you know how that works with NASCAR.
That's tough.
And so he ended up as the Midwest champion, and he was, I want to say, top two or three nationally. And he was racing Lakeside, basically racing Lakeside on Friday and CMS on Saturday. And he would go to some specials. You know, he'd go down to Lucas when he could do that. But, you know, he ended up as a NASCAR Midwest champion.
Yeah.
And good driver, but he just, I talked to him a couple of times and he said, it was just a matter of, you know, I can't keep up. And he's a weekly racer, but he has his own business down in Sedalia, and he says, I just can't keep up with the right. all the cost on the A-mods. So,
well, when a modified costs $35,000 just for a roller with no shocks, no engine, no transmission, it's getting a little out of hand, right?
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, Alan, have a good call this weekend down there. We appreciate you coming on and talking about the Tom Wilson Memorial right here on Mostly Motorsports. Have a good weekend down there, my friend, okay?
Well, we appreciate that. Always good to talk to you guys on Racing Boys. I tune in on your daily show when I can. And, of course, on Saturday mornings, I'm normally listening there as well. So I always enjoyed. I was glad to see a late model driver on today. So that was really great to see that.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow we're going to have our Michael Rigsby from Flow on tomorrow. So it'll be an interesting show talking about MAV TV and Flow combining their efforts. And so it should be an interesting show tomorrow. Alan, thanks again. We appreciate
it. Okay. You bet. You guys take care, and hopefully we'll have a good weekend.
All right. Good. I hope you do. There you have it. Alan Miller joining us on the show. You know, that had to be really hard for Earl Walls to pull the A-mods down there. You know what, Austin? You know how dedicated he was to the A-mods, right? Paid him over $1,000 to win every week. Paid like $175 to start. He threw a lot of money at those modifieds for a long time, but he finally had to give up on it.
Yeah, you can't throw that money out when you have seven, right. eight, nine cars. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. You looking forward to tomorrow's show with Michael Rigsby talking about what's going on with Flow and MAV TV?
That should be pretty interesting.
That'd be really interesting. Yeah, that'd be good. All right, so weekend off for you this weekend, right?
Yep.
All right, buddy. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show again today. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. I want to thank Austin O'Neill, my partner Kirk Elliott, for hanging out here with us as well. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time. Michael Rigsby joins us here from Flow Racing. Should be a good show. We hope that you'll join us tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.